All right, so we are going to bring you some news, some Disney news, a little bit of Universal news as well, and I'm going to get things rolling with an old favorite. And some of you might not even know that it went away and that it's back, so you're going to be like, what do you mean it's back? It was never gone. But the old version of pin trading is back at Walt Disney World Resort.
I know.
And so what makes this different than, you know, a week ago is that, remember when it was COVID times and, you know, things were kind of restricted and you weren't allowed to touch. It's like, if you touch it, you take it type of thing. And they were all, you know, in one place and it was just a little different. Well, now it's back to the old ways where the cast members are going to have their pins and you can just walk up and do some trading. Yeah. So I think it's going to be, you know, good for those people that really are into the pins. It's not like the pin trading shops were ever closed or anything. Those were still up and going. So yep. People have been collecting pins for the last 5 years. But now it's a little different, or back less different. I don't know which way to say it.
It's more personal again.
It's just amazing to me that it took how many years for pin trading to... I didn't even know it was not back. And then I feel like it's not that hard to have brought it back 3 years ago. So it's really...
People just didn't want to touch things.
That's so odd.
And I think it was just a super low priority for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's like one of those things that like people really get into and really enjoy. So I think for those people... they'll be excited because some people go to the park and just pin trade all day.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yes.
And there's children now that have never done it, that have, you know, never done it. And now it's a new thing for them.
Well, that's true.
And it seems that all the pins I have are going to be like super valuable because they're like 10 years old.
They're not.
Okay.
But
they're going to look new again. Maybe. I don't know.
That's right. We have pre-COVID pins if anybody's interested.
Yeah, I don't even know where they are.
We have so many pins.
I know.
So here's the thing. You can buy the pins on eBay, but you don't want to buy scrappers. Is that what they call them? I feel like I'm an official pin person. Scrappers. Don't get the scrappers, because those are the counterfeit pins. I'm just kind of making this up as I go.
Well, they're not really counterfeit.
Are they? What are they?
They're rejects.
They're rejects.
These manufacturers. In most situations. Sometimes they are just super, super cheap and made that they weren't ever
part
of Disney. But a lot of times they were rejects because of surface finishes or miscolorations. But for all intents and purposes, from Disney's perspective, they were junk and they weren't first quality.
And now I feel sorry.
You could buy them in giant lots on
eBay. Yeah, now I feel sorry for them.
$25.
Yeah. See, we used to buy those because you don't want to spend $10 on a pin and then go trade it.
Well, it's 10 to 20 to 30.
Yeah. So back in the day, and I'm sure you can still do it, like Sharpie's saying, you go on eBay or Facebook or any of them now. There's like so many different places. And you buy, 20 pins or 40 pins or whatever. And then you have pins to give to your kids for the trip when they go. And they can put them on their lanyard. And then they can go trade them for the ones they want. And they're not tossing out $10, $20, $30 at a pop to swap a pin. So it's kind of a nice way to kind of introduce yourself to pin trading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I feel bad for the scrappers. I feel like those are the ones you want. It's like when you save a puppy from the pound. I feel that's what the scrappers are.
Don't give yourself that much credit.
You're like, oh my gosh, I saved these.
The cast members
have
to trade their good pins.
I know, for their pound puppy.
Well, Disney provides the cast members with pins.
Yes. They get a lanyard and then they get so many pins.
Good to know.
So yes, they're not paying for the pin.
My pins are on a board and they all mean something. So
that's nice. Yeah, that's always good. That's the way to do it.
Each girl has a board, and then we have a small collection of tradables. And I don't know if they even know that they still have the pin boards.
They're somewhere. I think they're in a back room.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things I've ever seen is you use one side of your lanyard for like your collectibles, but you use the other side of your lanyard for trades.
Oh, nice. See the advanced.
So that way, if you want to wear some of your like cool pins,
yeah,
you want to put together like a lanyard with all of your favorite characters.
Yeah.
You can do that all down the one side with the metal pin keepers.
Cool.
That like basically kind of like semi-permanently attach them to your lanyard so the rubber backs aren't falling off.
Yeah.
On the other side, you can have your trader pins.
Yeah. I think that's cool. I would honestly, if I'm wearing pins into the park, I think they all need to have the screw back because the little rubber stoppers are not even, it's not even a click. It's just a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to lose
when
them.
You ride those rides.
There yep. you go. That's true.
Now, have you ever stepped on a pin and realized that you were suddenly tap dancing?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Because it stuck to the, it stuck bottom. To the bottom of your shoe and you didn't realize.
Nice.
Oh, I've had that happen more than once.
Yep.
Tap dancing down Main Street.
Better stuck to the bottom of your shoe than the bottom of your foot.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's awesome, though.
All right. Let's hop a monorail over to Epcot. And Brenda, what do you have at Epcot?
Well, there's a new pass holder lounge that's going to be there this year, and it's going to be from May 1st through June 18th, and it's going to be in the restaurant Marrakesh in the Morocco Pavilion at Epcot, and it's going to be open from noon to 8 daily for annual pass holders. They always have a special lounge for them, so that's this year's version. It's going to be awesome. Nice air-conditioned area with snacks and drinks, and you can just veg out and relax for a while.
It is nice it's to just perk. Chill. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Until they do something with that pavilion.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome one of these days.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
they just finished the Epcot remodel until they
do they that. Are not
find some more money.
To the next.
Continues.
I know. We still have more news stories coming with Epcot. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, Caitlin, we've got some good news that came out of Walt Disney World as well. For those that are a little more budget conscious and trip oriented.
Yes. So we have summer savings, technically summer and early fall. So discounts. So if you're looking to book a Disney vacation package, there's some special discounts. We have save up to 30% on rooms at select resort hotels when you stay 5 nights or longer. And that's offered most nights from July 8th to October 3rd. Then we also have for Disney Visa card members a free dining plan.
Awesome, so, free dining.
Yeah. So if you have a Disney Visa card and you book a non-discounted four-day vacation package at a Disney resort, then you can be eligible for a free dining plan. That's the whole month of July, the first week of September, and then part of December, December 9th to December 21st. So that actually goes into holidays as well. And then Florida residents
On the Disney Visa ones, though, you have to have the park hopper and you get quick service if you're in value or moderate, and you get the regular dining plan if you're in deluxe or deluxe villa. Sorry, yes. I just wanted to throw that in. Thank you, Brenda.
No, that's important. Yes, hopper. That has to be a hopper. And then, yes, that's correct for the different types of dining plans, depending on which resort you're at. Thank you.
Welcome.
And then for Florida residents and annual pass holders, up to 30% off on select rooms July 8th through October 3rd. So if you're looking to go this summer or early fall, contact us and get some discounts.
Which one is better? Which one's better?
Depends.
It depends.
Depends on what?
It depends on how it comes out. And usually, I mean, well, you have to have the Disney Visa to get the dining. So that's, I mean, that cuts a lot of people out.
Or but if you have,
if it the was Disney, for everybody, it would really depend on how many people are in the room a lot of times.
Yeah. Or if you have a Disney Visa and you are not interested in the dining plan at all, and that just doesn't appeal to you, then you may find something better with just the room discount that works better for you.
All right. So bottom line is we have to run the numbers.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right. So call one of our mouse chatters. We can run some numbers, figure out what the best deal is for you.
Yay.
All right. Let's see. Oh, we're heading over to Sharpie and we're going to go back to Epcot. It's like we're running that monorail rampant. Magic Kingdom, Epcot. Magic Kingdom, Epcot. Okay, so Sharpie.
You came back to me at approximately 64.9 miles an hour, Lisa.
Really? That's pretty precise. Why do you think I was at that speed?
I think you were testing me.
I think she's on track.
Yeah.
Allure. There we go.
Yeah.
So we are preparing to bid farewell to the Tron version of Test Track.
Yay.
June 17th, 2024, Test Track will close temporarily, but it is going to be undergoing a massive retheming and kind of redo. To change it up just a little bit. If you remember what was in that location way back when, was the World of Motion. So World of Motion was sponsored by General Motors. And when it came time to up the ante on that attraction, they introduced the concept of Test Track. If you guys remember, the original theming of Test Track was that you were crash dummies boarding, boarding a test car, and that was what you're going through. So if you were lucky enough to ride it in that original era, originally Test Track, a lot of people don't realize the Test Track. A lot like Tron took a long time to open. At the time, Test Track is not only the fastest ride
at
Disney World, but when it opened, it was also the most technologically advanced. It was Disney's first true, fully software-driven attraction. So if you've ridden the likes of Minnie Mickey's Runaway Railway, or you've ridden the Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, or Rise of the Resistance, you know that those are highly digitized attractions now. Well, it turns out that Test Track was that kind of Gen 1 of new era attractions for Walt Disney World. It was originally supposed to open in 1997, but that kept getting bumped. So it eventually had a soft opening in late 1998, and then did a full launch and grand opening in 1999. And then it closed in 2012 for a complete kind of redesign, which is where we are now. That's when you started designing your own test car. It moved more from like you being the test dummy to you designing a test car. So kind of cool theming transition, still stayed kind of true to the original intent of the attraction, but kind of moved it along a little bit. But yeah, I'm excited to see what the new one brings. Originally it was sponsored by General Motors, like I said earlier, but since 2012, it has exclusively been sponsored by Chevrolet. So, you know,
did you ride the original Test Track or World of Motion?
I remember World of Motion is one of the attractions that I remember riding on my first trip to Walt Disney World in, I think it was 1985.
Yep.
So.
Oh, I remember the guy that gets in an accident. He's got the chickens that are getting loose.
And the car, like the, it's like turned over.
Yeah. It's, I remember that.
It was like a Spaceship Earth kind of people mover esque storytelling as you went through, and the cars started in the building and then they came out of the building up
history of the motor car.
Yeah. And it went through the history. Oh, they had like the cars driving, or I can't remember if this is Spaceship Earth or World of Motion, where the cars were driving along like the 1950s.
Oh yes.
And the kids were all hanging out of them.
It almost had a little bit of a Carousel of Progress vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then I remember
liked being a crash test dummy though, except for the heat. The heat lamps were too hot.
Oh yeah, when you went through the pre-show for the crash test dummy version was awesome, because it was like they would pick what you're gonna do. They're like, oh, let's do this. What about this simulation? And then at the end, he was like, oh, let me throw in this one more. And then they like push some buttons and he switches some things up and then it kind of goes dark or something. So you're like, what did he add? And that's when it goes to the crash into the wall.
You fell for that,
didn't I? Was like, yeah, then you're like it. Oh, they show the car smashing into the wall. That's what it is. They go, let me do one more. And then he shows the car like just smashing into a wall. And then you go from the pre-show into the thing. That was awesome.
Yep.
Much better than designing your own car. I felt like they cheapened out when they did the Tron thing. It was kind of like a Spencer's Gift Tron. It was like they took the same thing and then they just threw like glowy lights on everything, like the cool trees. Well,
the old design was super dated.
Oh yeah.
By the time I wrote it in 2006, it was like there was literally like dust
I know. That was the worst.
It was like this,
I know.
This is really that they need
a lot of compressed air
to do some cleaning.
Yeah. And they never like the cones through the that you would drive through the test thing were like all they didn't work. They didn't like go come down or they were all smashed. I don't know. There's a lot of it that they don't upkeep it. And then it looks bad really quick. Yeah. Like the forest scene and the new mock-up art reminds me of the original.
New like design art. There's definitely some throwback to the original.
Because I like that because instead of the direction. Like electric trees, I like the original part of that when you were going up the hillside. So if they, well, I don't know.
I think it was supposed to be high tech and sleek.
I know. It was like Tron before they had the cool technology that they could really do something Tron like. They did a good job, I guess, but it kind of jumped the gun before they could really make it super cool. Anyway, but so rumors
headed to Disney World this summer. Don't plan on riding Test Track after June 17th.
That's right. Rumor is about a year. I don't know because it's sponsored by Chevrolet and they're gonna want to get it open.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of an e-ticket as far as Epcot.
Yeah, it's definitely
big time.
It's a big attraction. So,
speaking of that, Rock and Roller Coaster is never going to reopen.
What?
I mean, my gosh, how long is it going to take, y'all?
Is it down? I didn't even know it was down.
It's been closed forever, like a long time. And I can't even find a date on when they're anticipating opening it again.
Oh, were they just doing maintenance?
When we were there in January, it was open.
Yeah, you guys were right. I didn't hurry up. So they're just cleaning it up.
I'm sure it takes more than a day.
It's been January, February.
Well, it's long been rumored that like that they really needed to do an undercarriage rebuild on all of the cars. Because if you rode it within the last 2 years, it had really gotten pretty rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you think of how frequently that attraction is.
That's true.
Ridden. I mean, it is just in constant utilization.
Yeah, never down.
But yeah, so I mean, and that, because I mean, it's a Vekoma coaster.
Yeah.
So, like that originally, I want to say it opened in 1999. I think
it's been there forever.
And like Vekoma is kind of known as it ages to not age quite so gracefully in terms of a smooth ride. So.
I think it closed January 8th, and I think they're supposed to open again sometime in the summer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they closed right after we left.
We left on the 7th.
Yeah, there you go. You got We were last right in before on the bumpy version.
Did you ride, Steve?
I didn't. I've ridden in the past, but I haven't ridden it in a long time.
Oh, because I was going to say, that would surprise me if you did.
I'm okay on that one because it's not long. It's not long enough.
We did single rider.
Definitely not long enough, for sure.
It's long. It's not long enough for me to get sick.
It needs to go backwards after it's a headache.
Oh, no. Yeah, those, the bouncer around too much, you get a headache. You got to wedge yourself in there really hard.
It goes back and forth between the head rest.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, that's how a lot of those older ones are. Yeah. All right. So test track. What's after test track, Lisa?
You.
Oh, I'm up. You're up. So I'll introduce it because the setup I have tonight, I don't have a laptop in front of me. So Universal came out with some news of two new hotels. And when I looked them up, they're actually Lowe's properties. At least they were on the Lowe's website, which is interesting because I thought Universal owned them and built them, but that is not the case. So there's two new hotels. And I'll let whoever has it up, go ahead and do the names and the dates of when they're opening. And then we saw the concept art when I wanted to kind of go through the concept art because it's kind of interesting.
There's the Stella Nova resort that's going to open January 21st, 2025. And then Terra Luna, resort. That's one of my granddaughter's names. Sorry. That's going to open February 25th, 2025.
There you go.
Your granddaughter is Terra Luna?
Terra Luna.
No, her name is Luna Rose.
You named her
Terra Luna. I can't say the word Luna without that.
Nice.
Extra.
Yeah.
So they're opening. These are over at Epic Universe. It's interesting. So here's what's interesting to me. So the concept art of the rooms and the lobbies reminds me a lot of Aventura, which was their kind of minimalistic, modern, sleek.
Yes, clean looking.
That was it's like very, the W.
Very clean lines. And then we were talking on our other show when we were, we were talking off air about the Star Wars hotel that closed.
Yeah, that was off air.
And then we were thinking, man, these rooms kind of have that feel. Maybe it's the window and the coloring. It's like dark and blues. And then they have this oval shaped window. So they kind of look like the old Star Wars hotel that closed over at Hollywood Studios.
They're really pretty though.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like if Halcyon and Aventura had a baby.
There you go. Exactly.
Twins, Terra Luna and
Stella Nova.
And they don't seem the other thing that's I thought well, they would be totally different, but they're almost so. Like the only way I could even tell the concept art was different. Like it's like one of those books that you get at the dentist office where you're like, find the cat in this painting. Highlights. Yes, exactly. It's like an old highlights book. Cause I was like, look at the concept art of the room and you got to figure out you can't even tell what's different. I don't have it in front of me, but look at the two rooms and so what's different between the two rooms? Not the bathroom, just the bedroom.
The colors. It's just the colors.
That's it.
It's only the color. The only color I saw different was the pillow.
The pillow.
The only color difference is the throw pillow.
One of them has a little bit darker of a shade on the wall. The other one's a dark blue.
Well, I think one of them has like there you go. Yeah. And then like one has like an orange pillow and one has a like purple or dark brown pillow or something, like an oval shaped long. Like pool noodle pillow. And that's it.
Pool noodle.
It's like, yes, it's basically like a pool noodle pillow. So you can tell I'm an interior decorator in my part time. So I was like, really?
Okay.
They didn't do anything different. And then when you look in the bathroom, so what's the difference between the two bathrooms?
This is kind of like
it is.
Where's Waldo?
It's highlights.
Yeah. I don't know. The differences.
Come on.
I don't know. One's got the sink on the left and one's got the sink on the right.
No.
Is it the wall color?
No. It's I don't have it in front of me, but look at the tissue box.
The tissue box. That's the only difference.
There's like a soap. One has like. One has like a soap tray and a little box next.
There's nothing different.
The only reason
you're way too bored.
No, because I had to find the concept art and then I was putting it together for the show and I was like, these rooms. I'm like, do I even have the same room? And then I was like, oh no, look, the tissue box is different in this concept art. That's literally the only difference.
Yeah,
like the rooms are, I don't understand why they didn't do, I mean, it's gotta be cost and the audience they're going for, because it's similar to.
It helped them to keep the common spaces one way.
Yeah.
Since they share them.
They're basically the same hotel with different names, but they're exactly the same minus the tissue box and the throw pillow. So
kind of like Endless Summer.
Yes, exactly.
Dockside Inn, yes. And then Summerside.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way to just.
They have Surfside and
Surfside and Dockside, right? Surfside and Dockside.
One's a much bigger property.
Yeah, one has family suites, I think.
But then they share the restaurants right there at Universal. They both have the same amenities as far as like the shuttles and all that. And then they have two, their pools are different.
Yeah, the pools look a little different, but they're still so very basic.
Separate.
But they're like sister properties, and that's kind of how these are.
They're supposed to be twinsy.
Yeah, they're the same shape, building.
Now, they weren't trying to be different.
They're not like going for a fun theme, like this is Polynesian or this is Italy or this is like taking you to a destination.
They've already done Polynesian.
I know, but they could have done another fun theme. But I feel like.
Oh, they could do France.
No, I mean.
They're basic.
Well, they're definitely basic. But that's probably they good.
Kept them that way. But then they have that special. What?
Oh, that's true. They do have that.
That's coming. That's going to be fabulous.
They have the most amazing tissue boxes in that concept art for that new hotel.
Oh my God.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Yes, exactly, Sharpie. When I see the concept art, that's the first thing I'm looking at, the throw pillow and the tissue box of the high end resort. I don't know.
Helios Grand Hotel.
Can you imagine the designer who had to design that? And he's like, all right, let's do this other room. What can we change? Oh, let's make the pillow purple. Done.
Let's make these look so plain that everybody's going to want to stay.
$500,000 for this concept art. Anyway, it was interesting.
That tissue box was a tough.
It is. It's definitely, it's like an advanced highlights scavenger hunt.
You must have gone to the dentist a lot. Because
when I was a kid, highlights. Do you remember? Do you not remember highlights? Maybe you always got there.
For sure.
Yeah. And they were always all circled. Like someone had already circled them.
Well, and they had touched those books. They were definitely pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget, you had hidden pictures and then you had find the difference. So there were two different.
Oh, things. That's true.
That's right.
Well, it was like a drawing and then it was like find all the things in the drawing. And there's like, oh, there's a candlestick over here and the wood grain.
Love those.
Right. Yeah.
I have a book of those. I'll give it to you.
Oh, well, there we go. We can do that. But yeah, that was interesting to me. So yeah, they have the two new hotels are opening 2025. They're booking now. Yeah. So we can book them now, which I would do because, and then we know the resort or the park is opening in 2025, but we don't know opening dates yet. So the hotels will actually be open before the park, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. So we'll see. Was that our last story?
Yeah, we had five. We had a handful.
Oh, good. We ended on the tissue box and the pillow.
What other way could we end?
That's perfect.
Yeah. Good job. All right. So literally that's it. That's all we have for you tonight. I would like to thank Pixie Vacations for sponsoring the podcast. If you have any comments or questions for us, please write to us at comments@mousechat.net. Thanks so much for listening. Please join us again next time on Mouse Chat.